In fact, we continue the conversation right now about college football. I'm joined by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. Also a national college football insider for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's got a new book out. It's called Flip the Script with Ed Orgeron. Flip the Script comes out on October 27th. It is available for pre-order right now. My guest is Bruce Feldman. Bruce, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So, Bruce, normally when you and I are talking 2 days before number three Georgia going up against number two Alabama, we'd be all about that matchup, which I'll get to in a minute. But obviously there is bigger news. What was your reaction, Bruce, to the news that Nick Saban tested positive for COVID?
You know, it's a little surreal, Jim. He's certainly not the first college football coach who has tested positive, but he's the biggest coach and the biggest name in college football. It's also when word got out, it wasn't just him. It was also the Alabama AD, Greg Byrne, who had also tested positive. Now, Saban, I was on a call with him probably an hour after that, and he had explained he has no symptoms at this point. And it's just, you know, he's one of those guys where whenever you've seen him, he's been very proactive in terms of the messaging. He's seemingly always had a mask on where, you know, you've seen plenty of highlights of coaches during games where they haven't, or it looks like it's, you know, down around their neck or whatever. They're wearing it like a satchel or something. He's not been that way. So, you know, when we talked to him after yesterday, one of the things that I think he is very mindful of is just, hey, you know what, the virus is basically all around us, and it's something where you have to be extra careful. And I think fortunately for Alabama, they're one of the few programs right now who is testing daily, so they caught this. Some other programs are testing three times a week. Some other programs are only testing one day a week. And so what has happened quite a bit has been this virus has spread pretty quickly through some of these programs because either they go on a road trip and they're in a cramped visitor's locker room or they're at a team meal or whatnot. It's just that's been one of the challenges with this. So fortunately for Alabama, it appears they were able to catch it very quickly. And as soon as Saban found out he got the positive test, he went home and he actually tried to coach the practice as best he could from home.
Right. Bruce Feldman joining us. He did do that, Bruce. Now, he does make the point that he's not playing in that game, but at the same time, we know he's an enormous presence. So what do you think it's going to be like to have Alabama playing in a huge game Saturday night without Nick Saban on the sideline? How much do you think that will impact the game?
I think it's definitely going to have some impact just in terms of you're talking about the players who are so used to this guy who is such a dominating presence in everything that goes on with Alabama football. And it's really not just the players. It's this big staff they've had where he's involved in every decision. Now, you know, you can take a look. Les Miles, the coach at Kansas, another national title-winning coach, he also has tested positive for COVID. Maybe he will be back on the sidelines this week or not when they play West Virginia. Les Miles is not as hands-on the way running a football program, especially in-game, the way Nick Saban is. One of the only coaches I can think of who maybe every bit is connected to it in a lot of facets of the game is TCU's Gary Patterson. So, look, what I was told by people close to Saban is that he has the utmost confidence in Steve Sarkisian, and Sarkisian has a leadership presence to him. I think he has obviously a bunch of experience from his time at Washington and some at USC in some big games, but he's certainly not Nick Saban. And so that's a significant deal, and we'll see how it plays out. Because of the NCAA rules, he is not permitted, if you're not in the building, if you're not in the stadium, if you're not in the coach's press box, you cannot really have communication, you know, from the time basically the game is going to start. So it's going to be a big adjustment, not just for the players, but for everybody on that Alabama sideline.
We're talking about that matchup on Saturday night. Bruce Feldman is joining us. And the matchup, Bruce, is really interesting on a number of different levels, but especially when you consider the two starting quarterbacks. You've got Georgia's Stetson Bennett. You've got Alabama's Mac Jones. Right now, you've got a great piece up on The Athletic about Shannon Dawson and his connection to both players. For those who do not know, who is Dawson and how is he connected to them?
Well, Dawson's actually the offensive coordinator at University of Houston, but what's fascinating is he was the first one to really buy in, at least in college coaching, to either guy. He was the one who Mac Jones had committed to as a junior at, when Dawson was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. You know, Dawson had first seen him when he was in eighth grade, and the kid came up to a camp at West Virginia and threw for him. That's where Dawson worked at the time. And then after he left Kentucky, he goes to Southern Miss, and he sees this 5'10 quarterback who he gets somebody, a friend sends him film of, and he just thinks, man, this guy is special. He's got some Baker Mayfield in him. Loved how he threw the ball, loved how accurate he was. When the kid came to visit, he saw how big his hands were. He measured him. He was like, that's something I really think is important for quarterbacks. But his head coach would not offer him. So he was like, I had to try to get him to walk on. This kid grew up going to Georgia games. So when they gave him a chance to walk on, he was like, as much as I tried to tell him, Stetson Bennett, and his dad, say, hey, you know what? They're always going to have a five-star kid. You're not going to play there. And he goes, and I think you're a good player. It's going to be sad. Well, you know, eventually this kid was at one point the four-string quarterback, but for a variety of things that have happened, he got his chance to play, and he has excelled at it. And so you have these two quarterbacks, neither guy, because remember, obviously, Mac Jones, when he signed with Alabama, the other quarterback who signed that year was Tua. So it wasn't like everybody was expecting Mac Jones to be this guy going to take over the program. And then they take Bryce Young from out here, another five-star kid from modern day. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be the guy. So credit to Mac Jones, credit to Stetson Bennett for believing in their ability enough and just staying true when a lot of other people thought it wasn't going to happen.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right then, Bruce, who do you like on Saturday and why?
You know, before the Saban news, I picked Alabama. I think Georgia's defense has looked really good. They're talented. I think Stetson Bennett has played really well. He's got some playmaker savvy in him. But having said all that, the game's in Tuscaloosa. To me, Alabama has the best receiving core in college football. They also have Najee Harris, who's a tremendous running back. I think Alabama is much better in the skill position right now than Georgia is. I know their defense looked really shaky, and Lane Kiffin's, you know, Ole Miss offense really gave them fits. But I just think that it's a big game. Even without Nick Saban, I think it's going to be really hard for Georgia to slow down this offense. I just think it's just too explosive, especially the way the run game complements those receivers who are so dynamic. I mean, Georgia's good on defense, but I don't see anybody slowing down this Alabama offense.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman. All right, Bruce, I mentioned off the very top that you've got a brand new book coming out with Ed Orgeron. It's called Flip the Script. You and Coach O go back quite a bit. When did you first meet him, and what do you remember about that?
It was actually, I had moved out to California, and this was back in the Matt Leinart, the USC days under Pete Carroll. And I was working at ESPN Magazine at the time, and they had a really good defensive line. And it was a bunch of guys who had become, you know, high-round NFL draft picks. And Orgeron was the head coach, was the defensive line coach at USC and really the recruiting coordinator. And just, you know, you hear all these amazing stories about him and just a larger-than-life character. And so I kind of connected with him there for an ESPN Magazine story on that group. It was Sean Cody, Mike Patterson, Kenichi Udizi. I mean, this was a really talented group. And they were really part of the foundation of what Pete Carroll got built there at USC and ended up obviously winning national titles. And so from there, I did a book really about recruiting, where it was a fly on the wall in the Ole Miss football office when he was the head coach there, called Meat Market. And Jim, I'd always get asked, and the book did quite well, and it was just a unique story. And he's a unique figure. And so I'd always got asked, would you ever do a sequel to Meat Market? And I just didn't think that was really possible. But then once he got the LSU job, and you'd see both from his time as the interim at USC, but even how he's had to really grow and learn from all the mistakes, not only the mistakes that he made, especially at Ole Miss, certainly the mistakes that he saw Lane make when Lane was the head coach and he was with him at USC. And just to see that evolution, and to see then how they go on this remarkable run and go 15-0, and you know, they have Joe Burrow and Joe Brady and all these pieces come together. I just thought it was an amazing story. So this is basically the sequel to Meat Market.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman. It is an amazing story, and that was a great book in and of itself. Let me ask you this, Bruce, before you go. The 2017 season at LSU started with wins over BYU and Chattanooga, and then there was a blowout loss to Mississippi State, then a win over Syracuse, and then the embarrassing loss at home to Troy. What kind of an impact did that loss have on Coach O and the program?
Jim, I think what's interesting there is you sit there and you think, okay, he's won the locker room over, because you knew when he became the interim, taking over for Les Miles, how hard they played for him in 2016. But the next year, as you say, it was really rocky. And I think one thing that, you know, I kind of learned from working on this book was how different a locker room can be and a team can be from year to year. And it was fascinating to hear him talk about, there was after they lose to Troy, and he was like, you know, you kind of feel like you're on the ropes, and you're, you know the pressure's mounting on you because the expectations are so high. And he told me this story where he had a former player, Duke Riley, who was a really good linebacker for him, who was a rookie with the Falcons, and the Falcons happened to be on a bye week. And so Duke Riley came back to visit the team, and Ogeron said, hey, do you want to speak to the team? And he said, let me just hang out for a little bit. So Riley spent basically the next day and a half just observing. He noticed that, you know, guys didn't pick up their trays or how they treated people in the cafeteria workers, or maybe leave some trash around or didn't hustle. All these things that he had noted. And at one point, Riley then said to him after practice, hey, I'm ready to speak. And all these players thought, hey, here's Duke Riley, the team captain, coming back. He's our guy, you know, and everything. And Duke Riley lights into this team. And Ogeron said it was probably as powerful a speech as he's ever seen of a team he's been with. And in a lot of ways, he said, Duke Riley said a lot of the stuff that at that point, if I had said the same things and called him out the way Duke did, I think I might have lost that team. Because it, just the messaging at that point of the leadership and the delicate balance, it was fascinating because they went on to get a big win at Florida on the road and were able to really build some momentum. And that really laid the foundation for what became the national title that run they went on last year.
See, that really is an amazing story in and of itself. So, Bruce, finally then, like, what was his process? How exactly did Coach O go about flipping the script?
Jim, I think what's really key on that was, I mean, you're talking about a guy who, look, we all have flaws. His, I think, everyone kind of could see, and there's no poker face there, a big, emotional, high-energy guy. But also, he'd come through the process of battling addiction, which, you know, he will talk a little bit about in the book. I mean, he's now 20 years sober. But I think the lessons that come with that and the realization of you got to really have an honest, hard look at yourself and your flaws. And yeah, there could be other things that could be, you know, going on around you that you may think are less than ideal, but you got to start with yourself. And I think because of that, he has really been able to evolve in ways that a lot of coaches, especially when they get into their 50s, just they're kind of too set in their ways and too stubborn. And I think because he's always evolved, he's found ways to be very innovative. And I think a lot of times we think of innovators in football as Lincoln Riley as an X and O's guy, or, you know, what Bill Belichick may do, or certain guys, you know, just from a scheme standpoint. I think where he's been very innovative in the ways he gets the team ready for Saturday. And so we go into a lot of detail in the book on certain things that he's done where he's like, you know, I know it's always been done that way, but I'm not doing it that way because I know my team and I know what I think works best. And I think what's helped them is to have the trust of the team. And look, last year he had a unique dynamic because it was like having a player coach to have Joe Burrow out there because they had such a bond. And I think that gave him so much more of a trust factor. And so I think that was kind of why they went on this magical run. And I think all that stuff kind of comes from knowing who you are and knowing, you know, having the trust in not just what you're doing, but what everyone else is around you. And again, I think that comes from the unique perspective of just having to be so brutally honest with yourself the way he's had to be.
This book is called Flip the Script. It's coming out on October 27th, but it's available for pre-order right now. The author is Bruce Feldman, a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, and also a National College Football Insider for The Athletic. Bruce, good stuff as always. Thank you very much. Looking forward to seeing that book out there, and I know we'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Great job, Bruce. Well done. Good, good information. So you get your matchup, Georgia and Bama. Who do you like? And how much does this change if Nick Saban's not going to be there? Because as he points out, Nick Saban's one of those guys who's got a say in literally every single thing, every little detail, every decision. He's hands-on.